number 70, side B, in the Flanders Ballad Collection Duplication Project at Middlebury College. Reel item number 1 is disc number 3746, side A. On this side, Mrs. Ellen Sullivan of Springfield, Vermont, recites Patrick Sheehan, talks about the Green Linnet, recites The Dying Nun, and talks about Springfield, Vermont.
You attitude to something that keeps from what I say. If you ever join the English ranks, it's surely through today. And if ever you attempt it, a soul's going to go, think of poor blind Stephen in the Glen of Iron Road. The boy just watch him, the time they want to go and find, think of it, let's say, think of it. That's the end. That's enough. He was freezing. The corporal said to me, he said, wake up, guys, says the corporal, you lay the Irish hound. Well, did you know, I just thought of the same thing now, but in ancient times, they used to pretend to Queen Victoria. You know, her head was on the money, and she had many. Yes, she was the queen. And they had recruiting sergeants. No, for those of them, they take the chili. So this morning, this farmer came in to sell us corn. And he was a very handsome man, tall, with soldiers, would make one. So he went, came to market to grow the corn, and to change early. So he was with the public house at the CB shop. The market is open. And this man walked up, and he wished him good morning. But he had a big top coat on. He didn't see anything more. And so he says, it's cold. Come in and take a drink. So the boy didn't think he was in with him to take a drink. And they threw the counter. And he spun his shilling. You know, he took his shilling and spun his shilling on the counter like that. He says, pay for such a counter. He told the seller's counter, didn't he? And of course, he picked up not thinking. He says, Victoria's cash, he says, you've got on hand. You're wanted out of it. You're wanted at headquarters. He took the Queen's money. He was enlisted right away. Well, the seller was smart, and he put up a fight. And he didn't mean it. He put up the fight. And he said he wouldn't go. He wanted satisfaction. So taking it, he said, before Judge so-and-so. So my boy, and he was a rascal. He took him in, and he began to explain. And the judge says, he says, you're conscious, you've got to go. But he says, I beg your honor's pardon. This was how it happened. And he reached the shilling like that, he stole it. And never thinking, he just put out his hand and took the shilling. Never thinking. He says, you were enlisted now by me and you were wanted at headquarters. Well, of course, the judge of Carton, rich man, you know. And he said, well, he says, you've got me handsome. So he counted in £1. That's £1, 1 shilling. That shilling was over the pound. This is a ransom. He could have given it before, but he didn't have it. So the judge handed him £1. So he took the farmer, he took the money, and he handed it to the sergeant. He says, this will ransom me as well. I'll go home and kill my father.
There wasn't a song about that,
was there? There was, but I can't sing it. I couldn't sing it. Oh, my father could sing me, sing that. He's a singer. And the Grey Linnet. The Grey Linnet, that's Napoleon. But, you know, he sent away and they used to call him, and they didn't dare to call him anyway. They called him the Green Linnet. And, you know, he brought Josephine to this country. And Virginia, that's where he brought her over. You know, and that's what he came back.
You know the Grey Linnet?
No. The Grey Linnet of the Green Linnet, I think.
Why did these beggars have to sell Matthews in the street?
Because they couldn't sell the ballot, and they wanted the money.
Why couldn't they sell the ballot?
England, the rest of them sent them to Australia or some other place.
Well, why would England arrest them?
Well, that was the law. That was the English law.
Why did they make such a law?
Well, you have to ask somebody. You have to go back to Henry the First. Mrs. Flanders wanted that piece.
Let's put the dying nun on.
let the air flow in upon me. That's awful sad. Let the air flow in upon me. Let me see the midnight sky. Stand back, sisters, from the ground. God is here, so I have to die. I can't hold my hands so cold and frozen. Once it is so soft and white, and the string that falls down from it, past my fingers once for tight. Little ring that's half so worthless, that they let me keep it there, close the plain and golden circle with a braid of budget fair. Hark, I hear some strains of music that I heard long, long ago. No, it is the nuns of chanting in the chapel down below. Oh, my father, oh, my mother, will you then forgive the past? Can you hear the stranger tell you how your lamb died at last? Out of all that used to love me, who would weep when I am dead? Only you or Sister Martha. Only you or Sister Martha that tell of grief. Sister Martha, Sister Martha, has the moon gone down so soon, and this wet, so this cold as winter, but I know that it is June. But sisters in your white bed light, dreaming in the June moonlight, completing your dreams now vision, Father dies alone tonight. Half I hear some strains of music that I have on long ago. No, it is my Douglas Crowley. Death is back in little prayer.
Tell me about the way Springfield was when you first came.
Why, they were sent a lot of kids. There were so many married, they had two kids. Well, that's among the early street, you know.
Uh-huh.
Of course, that's an interesting year. The place that the way the priest came along.
And
there was a priest came here, came from Boston, he went to Montreal. And he stopped in, not Tinsel, but he's coming up through. And there was a big ear at that time. And he said, I'm in a hurry, he said to the lady, to put the baby on. And so she went out to the door, and she called Jimmy, come in. And Jimmy came down and sat on an apple tree. And the priest fell out back to me. So, sir, he came in with that prison bell. Jimmy, he asked him his name, and he said, Jimmy, he said, you're a pretty good boy. Now he says he took a silver dollar, well, the big silver dollars, but you remember?
Mm-hmm.
That we used to have, yes?
Yeah, sure.
So he gave him that dollar. Now he says to Jimmy, here's a dollar. He says, can I come through here in a year from now? He says, I'll give you something to say. And if you say that every day for a year, he says, when I come, I'll give you that dollar. He says, I want you to know, I'll keep it, that dollar. He said, all right, sir. Well, the priest went away. A year came, and he came back. And Jimmy was still in Lord. And he said, well, Jimmy, sir, did you say that prayer I told you? Yes, and she thought it was a prayer, Father. And he said, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. That's a great prayer for the Catholic. Well, we use it a lot, Lamb of God. But he says, all right, sir. So he went away. And the year was up, and they come back. As you say, he said, yes. Well, he says, me get it, and I said, no. He said, keep it, that's enough, you know. Well, he says, no, no. I said, love of God. Love of God, I said. And what I said, are you a damn fool? He says, the priest, and you'll be slammed last year, and the chief is here.
Reel item number 2 is disc number 3746, side B. On this side, Ellen Sullivan of Springfield, Vermont, recites Kathleen Mavourneen, talks about her favorite songs, and recites a fragment of Grace O'Malley.
was the cold winter's night, and the storm was a brewing. The snow like a sheet covered heaven and sky, as Barney flew over the hills to his darling and tapped at the window where Caddy did lie. Oh, Caddy, said he, were you sleeping or waking? The night's bitter cold and my clothes they have thin. The storm is a brewing and the frost is a baking. Oh, Kathleen, my bonnie, won't you let me in? Oh, Barney, said she, and she spake through the windy. And would you be putting me out of my bed to come out of time through the shame and essentials? It's whiskey and that love that's got into your head. Sit in your head. Oh, Barney, said she, if you're of my shame, you'll be tender. Consider the time and there's nobody in. And what's the poor girl but her name to defend her? No, Barney, my warning, I want it to end. Okay, he said he, as you're saying, I'd be tender. I consider the time as there's nobody in. And Barney would die for your name is as white as the snow on the mountain. And Barney would die too to keep it as pure. I will go to my home, though the winter wind faces me. I will whistle them off, for I am happy with them. And the words of my baby will comfort and whisper. No Barney, more warning, I want to choose. That's pretty good song.
Yeah. So which of your songs do you like the best? Which one? What are your favorite songs?
I don't know. I don't say anything. I don't know. I have them all.
I know. Which ones do you like the best?
Well, I like that, Bright Bunny Saddle, and that's like the East Soft, and Bright and Bunny Saddle. Up Bluebell Bay to Blow.
Uh-huh.
I like that. Very nice.
And what other ones do you like?
I like the Sailor.
Which one is
Soldier that? Soldier Court is the Sailor's Daughter.
Uh-huh.
That is from the ancient.
Yeah, what do you like the one about Mary and Joseph pretty well?
Oh, yeah.
Why do you like that so much?
Well, because it's one of the belongs to the church, you know. Joseph was an old man of sea, when he met the Blessed Mary on the banks of Galilee.
What about the crappie boy? Do you like that one?
Yes,
here?
I do.
Uh-huh.
My mother used to say that.
And, what about Tom O'Neill?
I like that too. That's a good song.
What tune do you like the best of all that you ever used to sing when you could sing tunes? Which of the tunes are the prettiest?
Well, I like the soft one. I used to know...
What do you mean, the soft one?
Well, when your pictures... But it's about that song. They're easy. But I like the front of my dad. My husband used to sing for the best. Inhabitants of Ireland.
No.
You gallant sons of the Indian tribe, now listen to my lay. And I tell you, then a Irishman, that I like that very well. No, he
says that death
arrest and what about Barbara Allen? Do you like Barbara Allen?
Yes. You got that, Mr.
Yes,
I gave that to Mrs. Flanders. Barbara Allen.
Did you like that song pretty well? Which kind of songs did you like when you were a young girl? Sad ones or funny ones, the best?
I like the ones with Lamentation songs.
What?
Lamentation. Uh-huh. Come on, the mother room. There was a song I used to know back then. He, the boy, he was his father.
Uh-huh.
Because the father was married and he had another, he was supposed to be another woman. And he took him to them. He says, my father kept the second wife to set my mind astray, and that's the reason that I took his wife away.
Do you know any more of it?
No, I don't. Like it for long years ago.
What was the name of the song? Do you remember it? The name of it? Why did you like songs with lamentations? People don't like that sort of song much anymore.
It was a good idea.
Why did you like them so much?
I
a young girl that wouldn't...
I was very young, I was quite young, 2 kids. I can't remember so young, old, I can't
remember. When you sang the songs, could you really see what they were talking about when you were singing, when you heard these songs?
I don't think I did all of them. I couldn't, you know.
You didn't understand all of it?
No. That was one I used to like pretty well, but I tried to get the rest of it, but you couldn't get it. in the city of New York, a young maiden, she came over here. A maiden as well, Jane Campbell by name, and his cousin can tell. And for the ones without grace, they find to wickedness, she was inclined. But I can't remember, Miss Plant wrote so that she couldn't get it.
How long did it take you to learn a song?
Not very long. But I only have two words here of song, but the other day, I guess you had it before that. I couldn't remember Patrick Sheehan. I said, oh, my God, it yesterday. I thought you'd be long.
Where did you learn it from? Did you have it
in my head.
I mean, when you were a girl, or somebody
I had them sing it.
How many times would you have to hear them to learn them?
Well, very often. You asked me where they go about the Crappy Boy, you know, right from where we live, where I live, my little cottage, our little cottage, we lived in, right on the left side of the gate of Rob Broderick's castle, my father just sent the clothes, and this, I love that song, and right below it, there was a house, and there were three boys, the four sons and one girl, and she was the oldest, Minnie, Dennis, and there was John and James and Willem. And Willem was just my age, and when he was coming away from Ireland, he cried. And he says, "Why the man, I'm coming over to America to marry you." 12 years old. And at certain day, night, when the moon was at its height, I wondered, I was down there one night, I didn't get home to go to bed, and I sat down there because the ocean was right flapping on outside, on the doorstep. And be out in the morning, we got to run us down to jump into water and take a bath right from the ocean. Two weeks in the month, we'd high tide at noon, when the dead and go away. And the next other 2 weeks of the month...
Were you on the record?
Go tell your royal Saxon queen, the graceless, the certain, the dauntless grace applied, she may mourn the fertile valleys, by the bowen and rich lissy side, but tell us Grace O'Malley, Grace O'Malley, and Sarah Mayo.
Who was Grace O'Malley?
She was the one of the sisters, father was also of the fighting.
And she sent that message to whom?
She sent the message to the Queen.
Queen Victoria?
Yes. You know, Queen Victoria went over to Ireland once.
Reel item number 3 is disc number 3747, side A. On this side, Mrs. Ellen Sullivan of Springfield, Vermont, sings "You Inhabitants of Ireland," "Henry the Brave Volunteer," "Father, Father, Build Me a Boat," and "The Ghost of the Murdered Girl."
Come down, your captain calls from that hero south and bold, that fought his way all on the sea, and never was controlled. That's what this is. From the 12th until the 20th, we sailed upon the sea. The 12th until the 20th, we sailed upon the sea. But 9 long days and never meant found father another day. The captain came on deck to us. From the 12th into the 20th, we sailed upon the sea. 9 long days and never meant found father another day. The merriment was over and going to bed that night. The captain came on deck to us to see if all was right. He said, "My boys, do not go down. You need not think of sleep. perennials we will be slumbering in the deep. The pirate ship coming down from the western sea to rob us of our properties on to America. When the pirate ship came up to us, yarded us to stand, your gold and precious moment, lording this moment I demand. Your gold and precious lording is right to me this day, as not the soul you'll ever bring into America. The battle then did commence, the blood and steam to flow, but in doubt it was our passengers that the pirate overthrow. There was a young man on the deck with a true love by his side. He said, my gallant heroes, he was sadly in the strife. And with the pistol ball, he took the pirate captain's life. The crying of women and children fled in the deep delay. The captain and his passengers, they showed the mighty play. With courage bold, they went on board of the pirate ship that day and brought a fleet of prisoners to America. Oh, I did nothing else. That is the most perfect part.
What's that now? Where does that come in?
Because he was the first one that ever started the temperance society, and he started all over the world. He traveled, he subbed around. But I didn't begin again.
Well, began the bus before where the
well, which was the first day? We sailed upon the sea from mainland Jason Merriman from South America. We shoved around the lemonade to Lemish on the sea, and Father Massel's medals we brought to America. And going to bed that night, I come to the subject. The Merriman is over and going to was a cold stormy night in the month of November. I heard a poor widow of sad 34. For many years the mother that I got to remember. Last Saturday night on the Galway shore. I asked the fair maiden the cause of the wind. I prefaced her my aid but a dry up appeared. Oh, kind sir, she said, my faith is in the living, since it seems to the grace of the brave volunteer. What will I do for a home or a shelter? What will I do for a husband so dear? God and his mercy that keeps those white ravens, may he comfort the widows of the brave volunteers. Since Henry no more with a son to my arms, to have had a stranger to let me behind. Our ship, she came sailing from the entrance to up from St. Bridget to Gibraltar, with tears and with music the edges ground. The 500 young men were dashed over the bill on the mouth and Henry of the brave volunteer.
When did this happen, you know?
My jealousy where I was born.
Do you know anything about the circumstances of it?
The England ordered home the prisoners, you know. And they got, because in coming, you have to come through the channel, you know. It's like New England. And that's the Whaley Shore. The Whaley Shore in Ireland is the Galway Shore.
And they were wrecked there, is that right?
Hmm?
They were wrecked there.
They were, yes, the ship. Our ship, she came sailing from St. Gibraltar. The ship with tears and with music, the air is his own. And then 500 young men were dashed over the billows, and among them all came Henry of the brave old. So that's
beginning and finishing.
Father, Father, give me a bow. Well, I can't listen to this. If I knew it was so easy than that, that's all right. Father, Father, give me a bow. For this is why she's an angel's home. I'll watch the child skips as they pass by until I find out my favorite boy. He had not sailed but the steady sharp. He had not sailed but a mile or two. When a big ship it came in view, oh, Captain, come tell me true, does my little Willie stand aboard the shoe? What colored hair is your Willie wear there? What colored clothes is your school of wear? A sharp blue jacket and trousers white, his curling locks and his hat is mine. When he says, lady, he is not here, so for these zones as I do here. It's beyond Green Island as we pass by. His very part is your favorite boy. She wrung her hands and she tore her hair. Like one distracted or in despair. She took a small boat, she shoved a small boat against the rock, saying, how can I reach him? I threw the rock. And she went home and sat her down. She took a pen and wrote it down. Saying, how can I reach him? I love lots of rocks. I got so many women.
When did this happen?
I know I didn't have a mistake. Oh, 75 years ago.
Was this a true song?
Yes, they suppose that all the songs that they sang were supposed from the fact. Now there was not a little ways from where I live. There was a place going into an estate. There was trees. They called it the whiteies. And we used to say to go by it when we were to school. And I was, because it was 3 miles away from where I lived, to ride the donkey. And there was a postmaster just up in town to town. And this girl was going to a certain place, and she thought he'd be company because it was in the dark. It was early in the morning, you know. And so when there were passengers, he entitled some way over the bar, over the dial. Did he kill them? Well, when the postmaster was coming down, there was a man saw him. And he was arrested. And she appeared to her mother. Pat O'Neill was named her. Was the name of the postmaster. She gave him a kiss to her mother. She was sat there and asked this. Before mother disappears, saying, mother, dearest mother, you never shall see me more, but Pat O'Brien has murdered me and left me in my door. Go into John Caden's grove and make no delay. You'll find my body buried there and covered up in clay. You'll find my brother's dreams that he has murdered me, and go and get him taken and something to see me. I can't remember that.
But you know that this really happened because it
happened. Yes.
Real item number 4 is disc number 3747, side B. On this side, Mrs. Ellen Sullivan sings In Dublin's Fair City and Father Tom O'Neill.
This record is being recorded at 33 RPM in Springfield, Vermont by Mrs. Sullivan on November the 10th, 1939.
In Dublin, fair city, pretty Paul Easy Bell. He was courted by a young man who loved her right well. And he and her father came to hear of this. In Dublin, fair city, pretty Paul Easy Bell. He was courted by a young man who loved her right well. And when her cruel father came this far, he was here. He was happy, but he was far away from her dear. Listen.
Now, don't say
the rest of it. Let's speak to that. It's early one morning for the poly arose. He dressed himself up in a suit of men's clothes. He was coat, waistcoat, and smart hair for the poly for dance. And every degree she looked like a man. She went out to her father's stable and she viewed his horses round. She said which of them are his best stables of travel the ground. With a good case of pistols and a sword by her side, and her father's back rubbing like a hero of his wife. She rode all around till she came to the bridge of renown. Was there she put up to the sign of the crown. The first man she met to the brave English law, and the next night came up and said, "Well, it's too low." He handed him a letter right out of his hand. "Then here is a letter from Paul, your friend. And under the sea, there's some guineas to be found. So you and your men to bring Paul yourself home." At the reading of this letter, my friends rejoiced, not thinking all the while that Betty Powell was nice. So the Powell being weary, she lay down her head. She said, "Write me a letter, kindly inform me my bed." "Upstairs," said the captain, "where have I at my knees? In the rag of iron with me when Lannis is seized. The sleep of the captain is an unbecoming thing, for he leaves us the soldier and fight for a skin. And he fight for a skin, by sea landing there, with the help of the polish, is the gateway door." Early next morning, for the tally of those, the dresses are up in her own suit of clothes. It is coming downstairs, the appear by the bus, then here is for the polish, the right through us. I'm getting old.
You went a little bit too fast then, you know. You want to take it easy on me. Just go slow and get out of breath. Let's do Father Tom O'Neill. Do you remember Father Tom O'Neill?
Yeah.
And that's a long song, and so just sing the first verse of it, and then recite the rest of it slowly. You want a drink?
Yes, it was a widow lived in this house. She had two charming sons. Her father died and left them when they were very young. They unsightly endeavored to maintain her darling sons. But the youngest one became a man at the age of 21. One day he conversed with his mother, and thus to her to say, "I fear it will fall on one of us but to go far away. And if you will agree, I'm fully bent and well content a clergyman to be." His mother was glad to hear such thoughts from his mind. He said, "I'll do all I can but to help my darling child." He conversed with his brother, and they did soon agree. They sent him home. They sent him off to college a clergyman to be. He had not been long in college, and the Reverend Bishop Brown came to examine the collegians and view them all around. He viewed this clever young man, he knocked him above them all, and he was the first to give consent to man than he would have. "He said, young man, where are you from? Confess to me your name. I'm from the county of Armagh. They call me Tom O'Neill. My mother is a widow, and of a low degree, and she's done her whole endeavor to make a priest of me. Father Tom, which is your name," the bishop be to say, "will study hard both night and day, and we'll have you our brains. To help your friend or mother, who did so well for thee, we'll send you home a credit to country boys to see." When Father Tom came home our brains, the neighbors were glad to hear, and all that came to welcome him, they came in twos and threes, especially his own dear friends, to welcome him thereon, and you never saw such welcome as I wrestled with the sun. Now, there was a squire who lived in this town. He was rich as a knight. He had one only daughter. She was a beauty bright. He said to her father, "I'll go this young man to see." So before he went to college, he was schooled by one at me. She was taken to the parlor where she drank ale and wine. She said, "You are a clever young man. I would have you resign. But look to be a clergyman, you know you are a stray, but a clergyman is right by night and soft hard by day." "You said, my noble lady, for you not explain your mind, but if you should offer 10 times more, I never will resign. But it's in this holy station, I mean to spend my life. So say no more, my dearest dear, I will never take a wife." Now, Tom, what is the reason? Is she resting? Now, Tom, what
happened there?
That's true. And I told him, what is the reason for this? I told him, what is the reason that you were not able to say it? He's a companion for another, the truth I do declare. What are you but a witness then? That is what food and mean. You should think of it with honor such a lady to what they did. Father Tom stood up and said, I've got no witness here. I will call on the Almighty, and he will bring me clear. I never said I'd marry her, or make her my wife, and I never knew a female from a man in all my life. These words were hardly spoken, when the horse came a swift running, and on came a rider, saying I was not here in time. Come call the jury over, for I'm here for a kind of bride. He wants to father's father's side of Father Tom and I. Father Tom put on his hat, and he began to smile. He said unto his mother, God did protect his child. They looked at one another, and they heard the perjury. The Julian was found guilty, and the reverend was sent home free.
Well, you left out the verse about what the man said now.
About that's what I said. I know the very moment, and I know the very spot. He gave to me 10,000 pounds a night. He gave to me 10,000 pounds a night. He tells me that.
Yeah,
I can't believe it,
Oh,
Real item number 5 is Library of Congress disc number LWO2592 side A. On this side, Elmer George of North Montpelier, Vermont sings King John and the Bishop.
I will tell you the story, a story of one who was a young prince whose name was King John. He was a man of great mirth. He saw of great rights, and he down, all lost him down. Down, to make him. He sent of Canterbury. He says, Mr. Bishop, they tell to me that you keep a far better house than me. To me, down, bury I down. Now if you don't answer to my question 3, your head shall be taken from your body. And if you don't answer to them all right, your head shall be taken from your body quite to me down. Down, bury I down. Now the first one I set on my royal estate, with my golden crown all on my pate, and with my nobility, joy, and great mirth, you'd have told 1 penny just what I am worth to me down. Down, bury I down. The second one is, without any doubt, how long I'd be traveling the whole world about. And the third one is, that when I do wink, you're to tell to me presently just what I think to me down. Down, bury I down. The bishop on returning home, he met an old shepherd and there all alone. Good morning, Mr. Bishop, the shepherd did say, what news do you bring us from court today to me down. Down, bury I down. Oh, if I don't answer the king's question 3, my head shall be taken from my body. And if I don't answer to them all right, my head will be taken from my body quite to me down. Down, bury I down. The first one he sets on his royal estate, with his golden crown all on his old pate, and with his nobility, joy, and great mirth, I'm to tell to 1 penny just what he is worth to me down. Down, bury I down. And the second one is, without any doubt, how long he'd be traveling this whole world about. And the third one is, that when he does wink, I'm to tell him exactly just what he does think to me down. Down, bury I down. Well, are you a man of learning and wit, to answer those questions so soon put to it? Oh, for 1 suit of your fine apparel, I'll go to King John and answer the quarrel to me down. Down, bury I down. 1 suit of my apparel I'll give, and 5 pounds a year as long as I live. So the shepherd is gone, and that all alone, to answer the questions to royal King John, to me down. Down, bury I down. Good morning, Mr. Bishop, the king replied, Have you come here to live or to die? Oh, I hope your grace will pardon me. I've come to answer to your question three. To me down, down, Derry, I down. Now the first one you sit on your royal estate, with your golden crown all on your old pate, and with your nobility, joy, and great mirth, I'm to tell to one penny just what you are worth. To me down, down, Derry, I down. Now for 30 pieces our Savior was sold, among the Jews so barbarous and bold. So about 29 would be your just due, for I think he was one piece better than you. To me down, down, Derry, I down. Now the second one is, without any doubt, how long you'd be traveling this whole world about. Just begin with the sun and keep up the same pace, and in 24 hours you'll finish the race. To me down, down, Derry, I down. Now the third one is, that when you do wink, I'm to tell you exactly just what you do think, and that I can do, so make a grace merry, you think I'm a bishop of Canterbury. To me down, down, Derry, I down. But you're mistaken in that one alone, for I'm an old shepherd, the bishop's to home. And that is all right, he says with a smile, but I'll make you bishop for another while. To me down, down, Derry, I down. Oh, there's no use in talking, there's no use to fight, for I can neither read nor write. But tell your old bishop, go tell him for me, that he'll get a frisky one if he gets me. To me down, down, Derry, I down.